Have you ever thought about creating the life of your dreams? What would that look like? Where would you work? Would you work? Where would you live? Would you travel? If you could have anything you wanted, what would it be? But what's stopping you? Welcome to Holistic Hope, the podcast show that uncovers the secrets to health that you've been searching for. I'm your host, Amanda Cuda. Welcome everybody to today's show. I'm so excited to introduce a dear friend and somebody who has absolutely changed my life and helped me propel to where I am today. He is a mindset coach, a hypnotherapist, a speaker. For the last 15 years, he has been assisting clients to reach towards their potential to create a life they love. He came into his work on his own journey through adversity in the early 2000s. He's an NLP master practitioner and has a diploma in clinical hypnotherapy. My friends, I would like to welcome you, Wayne Donnelly, to our show. Welcome, Wayne.
Oh, hi, Amanda. Wow, thank you for that welcome. It's so good to connect with you again after your trip to America. Oh, wow, thank you so much.
Thanks for being here, Wayne. Just before the show, Wayne and I were talking about when it was that I met him and what's happened since I attended a program that he was hosting. And so we met in, it was towards the end of 2018.
That's right.
Do you remember how I met you?
Before that, for you to be open to coming to the day, refresh my memory because it's been 6 years and a lot's happened in the last 6 years.
I was just scrolling through Facebook one day. I was feeling defeated and my friend, who you remember now, Catherine, she had a Facebook Live and she was saying that she had just met you, just worked with you, and she was having amazing results in such a short time. And I messaged Catherine and I was like, wait, tell me more. Who is this man? What is going on? I want what you have. And she sent me an invitation to an introductory night that you were doing where I saw you transform a lady into Tony Robbins. That impressed the hell out of me, Wayne. And after that, I was sold. I just wanted to get involved and get your help.
Yes, well, that was a great demonstration, and especially when you have people in those intro sessions, and because they're focused on personal development, and so a lot of people, you might turn them, or they choose, like I'm helping guide them there, and they choose to go into their favorite personal development person. You get people going to Tony Robbins, Oprah Winfrey, or even Michelle Bridges here in Australia, a fitness high-profile fitness trainer. And the interesting thing is they take on the persona so much, they will even do the autographs exactly like their idol.
Yes, I remember. Yes, you did that night. It was amazing.
Yeah, you see people get up and their whole body language, their demeanor, their voice, their level of confidence changes in an instant. Oh,
yeah, it was truly impressive. And I was at a point in my life where I was trying to get to the next level, and I would do my affirmations. I wasn't really good at meditating at the time, and coming to your workshop was truly a transformative experience. But Wayne, this hasn't always been you. How did you get here? How did you get into NLP? Oh, and please explain to our audience who have never heard of what NLP is before and hypnotherapy.
Ah, okay. Wow. How long have we got, Amanda, for that story? I'll go with the definitions first. Okay, we'll go to hypnotherapy. It's using hypnosis to go past your conscious mind to your unconscious mind, because that's where the programs are for your life, your conditioning, your beliefs. All those things are at a deeper level within you. You know, when you think to yourself, you know that you need to do something, say it's quit smoking or lose weight or whatever, or be better at work, sport, relationship. You know you should do this, but something inside goes, no, we're going to go and do something else. And that's the conflict between the conscious and unconscious mind. They say, from research, the conscious mind is only what you can be consciously aware of, which is about 7 bits of information a second. So if you're, when you're viewing this now, you can hear my voice, you can see my hands move, you can see my body. And the unconscious, your unconscious mind, is aware of 2 million bits of information a second, everything, everywhere, at all times. And you may not be aware of the feeling of your left foot on the floor. Hey, did I get you? And yet your unconscious knows that it's there all the time. It's just that your conscious awareness didn't go to that until I pointed it out. So hypnotherapy goes and speaks with the unconscious to create change. And you can have your eyes closed or you can have your eyes open. You can still be hypnotized. If you're looking at the TV all the time and you go into the TV trance, the messages that is going into your mind, you're watching a show and then all of a sudden you've got to go to Walmart or Harvey Norman here in Australia and go and buy a big screen TV or some other thing because that's just been put into your head. So hypnosis is doing that. Now, hypnotherapy is that area where you go and see someone or in a group and do the change. Now, NLP stands for neuro-linguistic programming. So we're using the language of the mind to reprogram you for excellence. As one of the co-creators, Richard Bandler, said, NLP is the study of excellence. How can we do better, be better, and create a life we love? Because many people create a life that's a ho-hum, or they don't consciously say, let me go and create a great life. It just is what it is, and I'm going to get whatever I get and struggle and all that sort of thing. So NLP, for people who are not familiar with it, it's like a waking or conversational hypnosis. And many times you will not know that NLP is being used, such as in the webinar and seminar industry and in so many sales meetings, there will be the use of parting you from your money by using NLP. I don't think that's the right use of it. I mean, people might say, oh yeah, it's effective communication to help people get that what they want. There's a big divide between the intent of the communicator and the perception of the audience. Likewise, there's a big seduction movement in the world, and guys and women too will use NLP and hypnosis, conversational hypnosis, to pick up members of the opposite sex. So that's the...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was popularized in a book from the early 2000s by a guy called Neville Strauss in a book called The Game. And so it's just not the worthwhile use of it. I mean, the best use is to empower people, empower clients, and free the mind so that people can live a life they love, so they can be liberated in their beliefs and their thinking. And then that flows through into their actions and results. So that's the heart. That's where I come from when I'm working with clients. Now, that's the NLP and hypnotherapy question.
Yeah. So now, how did you get into this?
Okay. I used to be an accountant and financial planner. I spent 26 years in the financial services industry. I worked in commerce for big companies. Then I moved into financial planning for a couple of the big companies here. And then in 2005, I had an accident through surf boat rowing. Now, for people not familiar with it, that photo in the background is a picture from when I was competing in the Australian titles with that crew. And as you can see, we're going up over a wave. Well, after repeated hits by waves and various things in the surf, I ruptured my L5 disc, and the pain got worse over a period of time until I could hardly walk. And then I went and had surgery, and the doctor said, look, if we don't operate tomorrow morning, you're going to be a paraplegic in the weekend. That night I lost all feeling in my legs, and I thought it was too late. I was just going to lose my ability to walk. So after the weekend and after the operation, I went home. Major surgery, and you're let home 4 or 5 days later. It's terrible because I wasn't in a good state of mind. And from the surgery, I was emotionally and physically weakened. I got home and I was living by myself. Pain returned after 3 or 4 weeks. I was walking though, which was a plus. And I started hitting the painkillers. I was fighting with my ex-wife over the kids pretty much every night on the phone. And then I'd wash it all back with a 6-pack of bourbon and Coke. So between a box of Panadeine Fort every day and a 6-pack of bourbon and Coke, after several months of that, after about 4 months, I just had enough and went to the local cliff lookout, and I jumped over 2 fences. I was standing on the edge looking down at the waves crashing onto the rocks a couple of 100 feet below, and I was just about to jump. I'd made the commitment. I was following through, and the phone rang. And this, yeah, I know, odd time. Of all things, my phone rings, and I pull out the phone. It's my best mate from the boat crew. And I looked at it, and I really had to decide, was I going to answer or jump? So it was just a key point, and I decided to answer. This is about 7 o'clock in the morning. Why someone would ring me at 7 o'clock in the morning out of the blue, I do not know. So hand of God. And I got back to his place. We had a talk and a coffee, and through a couple of different referrals, I got to sit with a guy, and he was the age I am now. Like, I'm 63 now. Oh. And he looked like Yoda, who's just a little old guy, I thought at that time. I don't think that now. I'm young and vibrant. And over a month or so, he did the initial turnaround from wanting to end life to embracing life. And, man, the sessions were insane, that I felt like someone got inside my head and rewired it, like adjusted all the levers and dials, changed the programs, and I was different. So I had been on some antidepressants, and I was getting off those, and that helped me also with that process, because that's a hard withdrawal once they're in your system.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I've been
there. Anyway, through this process that turned me around, it was all in here. It was really, really powerful. And then I'd go back every couple of months and just keep getting realigned, realigned and realigned until I stayed in alignment. And I was a financial planner at the time. Thankfully, I was only getting to know my client and sending the work to power planners to write the plans. So I get to the end of 2008. Probably January 2009, the GFC hits Australia and hits me. And my future, and this is a term I learned to use, my future was freed up for new opportunities. Initially, I thought I was redundant. And when you say to yourself, I am, anything after I am is what your belief is. So I am redundant. So when I looked around, I thought there's no opportunities, no hope, there's nowhere to go, no one wants me. Downward spiral. And then I got a coach, and we adopted or started adopting the phrase, my future's freed up for new opportunities, and I started to see doors instead of walls. And then we looked.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, it's really, really powerful. Reframing, so powerful. Mm-hmm. So we're, as a viewer, wherever you're listening, whatever's happening for you in your life, just ask yourself, what else can this mean? And that's key to empowering you. And from the coaching, looking back at my story that I just shared, it just hit me. I want to help other people the way I had been helped. So I looked for the NLP training and the hypnotherapy training, and that's what I spent doing in 2009. I went into business coaching because of the background of account financial services plus the behavioral change work. And as I was doing that for a couple of years, I started to develop my hypnotherapy practice, and also I discovered the stage. So I started speaking, and I also doing the things, starting on those things that you experienced. And I also started doing comedy hypnosis shows because it was a great way to practice the skills. Because when you're standing there in front of a couple of hundred people, you've got to come up with the goods and you don't know who's there. So that's just sharpening the axe, as well as promoting the power that's inside your unconscious mind. And so fast forward, that's what I've been doing the last 14, 15 years.
That's amazing. Now, what is it with our mind that holds people back? Like, what is that programming?
What holds us back? Well, just go and look in the mirror. That's the quick answer. So what happens? I imagine many people heard of the story of the elephant as a little baby is tied up to a stake and it learns that it cannot escape. And so even as it grows up, even though it can pull railway cars and trees and all that sort of stuff, it still believes that it's stuck. And this is what happens to us. In the first 7 years of life, there is no conscious critical factor to say, no, I'm not going to accept that. Everything just goes in and then we run with that as our initial learning of life. And then we go through role modeling where we look at others to see who we would like to be like. And then we socialize in our teens, early 20s. How do we fit into the world? And then one day we wake up and say, none of this serves me. I want to learn something else, which is then when we go into personal development. And so the journey between where we are now and where we want to be, they say, is 6 inches. Have you heard that?
It's no.
This 6 inches.
Oh, between your ears.
It's all in here. Yeah, it's all in here. So this is a huge journey to make, because when you change, everything in the world around you changes. The people around you change. The people that are in your world will change. Because you're going to be thinking, believing differently, thinking differently, and birds of a feather flock together. So you're going to associate with people who are in alignment with the vibration that you're at. So if you were a pub goer and drank at the pub every night, or the bar, hotel, you may suddenly realize that is not going to get you to where you want to be. I mean, that was Bob Proctor's story. He was in a bar and he's looking around saying, they're all bums. Wait a minute, I must be a bum too. And so started the change in his life. So when we change, like smokers are another one. They identify as smokers. They go outside, isolated socially now, to smoke with the other smokers. And then when they become a non-smoker, it's a new identity.
Oh, yeah.
So they associate with other people. The same with when we're in business. We want to go to networking groups where we associate with people who are committed to being in the game of succeeding in life. And so you go out and hang out with those people. They say if you want to play better golf, don't play with your friends. Go and play with people who are better golfers and you absorb it.
Is that why my golf game has never improved, is that? I need to change who I play golf with now.
Yeah, exactly. Well, here's a tip for you as a golfer. I use this for surfing. The night before I go surfing, I'll go onto YouTube, and like I surf a mal or a longboard, and I'll go and watch YouTube videos of people surfing waves on their longboard, and good people who surf well. And I get that into my head, and the next morning I will always have a better surf compared to if I don't watch. So for you, Amanda, go and watch some golfing videos where people are playing good golf. So for me, I don't watch people wiping out. I watch people who are getting great rides, getting tubes, doing hang 10, doing great cutbacks, great maneuvers on their longboard. You could do the same thing with golf. Or if any viewer, whatever your sport is, go and watch some great people on YouTube. It's there. And in that last hour before bed, before you drift off to sleep, your subconscious mind is opening up and can absorb some new ideas, some new strategies.
I never thought about that. That's a really good nugget. I'm going to give that a try next time I hit the course.
Just do it. Don't try. Try is failure.
Oh, don't try. Yes.
Do it.
That's right. You know, I'm glad I said that word because I remember you telling me that about what trying is. So it's really good for people to hear that again.
Well, it doesn't exist. You either do it or you don't do it. That's the old Star Wars from whatever the Star Wars first movie was. Do or do not. There is no try.
There is. That's true. There's a lot of truth. There's so much truth in that. So, Wayne, I love this whole talking about our mind. I'm so passionate about the words we speak. And you mentioned the I am, don't use the word try, these things that, you know, and I've done a lot of work on myself. I think you've seen that.
Oh, yes.
And there's still so much in our environment that we have to pull ourselves up, really. And I say that to people as well when I'm coaching them. Well, they're different health things, and I will say, no, don't say that. Say this, like, I'm not sick, I'm healing, or something different, you know, just whatever it is to try and change their energy and change their thought patterns.
A friend of mine said to me recently, words are spells.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I've heard that.
And our words are powerful. I am is a great example. So it's not I will be. It's not I'm going to. It's I am. So you're in the power of your present moment. That's where your power is.
Yes.
It's not in the future. It's not in the past. It's here. And a lot of work comes about through people getting into the present moment, into their identity as being a powerful being right now. And then we can move forward from that. Other words that I suggest people delete is the word don't. Because the unconscious mind doesn't hear the word don't. Don't eat that chocolate cake in the fridge. And you picture the chocolate cake, man, I'm going for the chocolate cake. So we should eliminate the word don't. We should say it exactly how we want to be it, or how we want, or what we want people to do, or what we want. It's got to be in the positive. Another one to think about carefully before you use it is if, but, and however. So listen to this, the response you have in these two sentences. First sentence is, oh, say if your partner said this, I love you, Amanda, but your cooking sucks. So by putting but after that statement of I love you, it's just negated the I love you. And then my cooking sucks. What's wrong? And I'm sure it doesn't. I'm just using this as an example. Or if you turn it around and say, look, your cooking sucks, Amanda, but I love you. Can you hear the difference in?
Yeah.
You know that you're loved.
I do. Yeah, I'd feel that very differently.
Yeah.
Because saying it first, totally, I wiped that out. But when you turned it around, it was a different energy altogether.
And so the thing to remember is, but negates anything that came before it. when I'm listening to clients, they tell me, look, everything's great, but, oh, okay, let's open that door, see what we're really working with. Now, we can use our words very, very powerfully. And for the self-healing process, you should listen to your own words when your unconscious speaks. I remember I was surfing a Point Break last year. Oh, a Point Break for your listeners. If you go to a rocky headland and there's the swell's coming through and waves are breaking near the rocks, the surfers love that because usually you can just jump off the rocks, paddle out, and you're there in the takeoff zone and get some really great waves. So I was out there. There's probably five or six young guys out in a critical takeoff zone. Like if you didn't make it, you'd hit the rocks and stuff like that. And I grew up on this break. So I've been surfing that particular break for close to 50 years when I go back there. And I'm on the mall, the longboard, and I'm just sort of just outside that critical takeoff zone and probably missing the opportunity to get a tube to get the cover up. And one of the guys came over as he was paddling back out and he said to me, hey, why don't you come and join us? And before I could even think, this is an example of the unconscious belief coming out. And these words came out, oh, look, my glory days are over. And I thought, who said that? And I just, yeah, imaginary smack in the face. Hey, man, I'm going over there now. But so when I'm listening to a client, I'll hear those sort of things come out. It gives me indications of where we're going to go. So the unconscious is, those things come out. You can't hide it. It's like when you're looking at the eyes for deception, for truth and lies. The eyes, the tonality, the body language. When you learn to read that, man, you're getting really into people's heads.
Can I interject another word I want people to delete from their vocabulary? Another saying, I can't wait.
Ah.
I can't wait to see you. I can't wait for the concert. I can't wait to travel. And I learned this one the year I was traveling between Australia and the US while my husband and I were, you know, getting married. And we were starting the year with, you know, I can't wait to see you. And I really had to stop and think about that because we were trying to manifest this life together of me moving to the United States to be together. But then also not sure about timelines when I could travel, when he could take time off work. And so I had to change it. And this was just not long after I took your workshop, Wayne. And so I was very much into words are powerful. And I turned around to him one day and I said, can you stop saying I can't wait to see you? Can you please say I'm looking forward to seeing you? Anything else except I can't wait. That really bothers me.
Well, that's a great, great example, Amanda. And there's so many things we can do with our language. Another one that I think of, which I use regularly, is when we agree with someone, we take the wind out of their sails and then we can have a conversation. So if there's a place where there's maybe a bit of conflict or disagreement, or you're going into a negotiation and people are coming in with preconceived beliefs and expectations. So someone might say something to you which you disagree with, and you want to work with their unconscious mind to get them to agree. So without disagreeing with them, you say this. I love this one. I totally agree that you think that. And I'd like to suggest, did you get it?
I'm writing this down. This was gold.
It is. It's great for negotiating in a conflict or negotiating in a sales meeting or whatever. So when there's those two, because what you're doing is creating or disarming, taking down those barriers so you can open up the communication channel. Now, I didn't say that I agree with them. Yeah. I just said, I agree that you think that. And they, their unconscious mind goes, Oh, they agree with me. Sort of. And in that moment when the unconscious mind opens up, because you're doing a verbal pattern interrupt, then you say, and I'd like to suggest, and then you put in the suggestion.
That is, if you're having to deal with conflict resolution, especially in the workplace or in relationships, I can see many opportunities to see that.
Yes, I'm letting out a few of the ninja or samurai tricks of conversational influence, let's call it.
Yeah, I mean, and that's so important. And it's so much nicer when you can diffuse somebody to then have a amicable conversation. There's so much more progress
Yeah,
happens.
absolutely. Let's lift it up. Let's lift up our game.
Yeah.
And where the thing is, when we have these skills, a couple of things that my trainer said to me many years ago, which has never left me, two things is the skill of influence of NLP and conversational hypnosis, they're a force multiplier. So they magnify what you are doing, how you are communicating, and it also increases your responsibility because you are responsible not only for your own communication but how the other person communicates with you, because you have this skill, this force, this energy, this power, and it is a big responsibility. Because so many people can be tempted to abuse the power that they have.
Yeah.
And so I remember that Gordon, that was my trainer, saying to me that whatever you put out bounces back. And before I'd done my formal training, here's a confession from a hypnotist. Before
Oh.
I'd done my formal training, I was seeing someone and I was using, this is how I was using don't, because she just wanted a relationship that was not committed, if you like, being the friend, but having fun,
Yes.
if I'm putting it
I think they call that
euphemistically.
friends with benefits.
Yeah, I was just trying to be as euphemistic as possible, Amanda.
No,
Anyway,
we can let it all out here.
yeah, okay.
Safe space.
And then she said to me, here's the rule, don't fall in love with me. And I
Wow.
said, that's right. You recall my earlier advice. So I said, yes, that's right. Don't fall in love with me. The unconscious doesn't hear, don't. Don't fall in love with me. So I was just playing with round. It's a thing called an embedded command where you disarm the unconscious. That's right. Don't fall in love with me. So I'd said that, and women have so much more sensory acuity than men. She picked up something was different. I should have kept going with the conversation with some hypnotic patter, but I wasn't trained. I was just playing around. And I thought I was going to get a smack in the face. Like she was, I said, okay, I totally agree. I just said, yeah, I've got the rule, don't fall in love with me. So I just changed the syntax of the tonality. But yeah, that it can really, if you don't know what you're doing, you can really get into trouble. And even if you do know what you're
Oh.
doing and you abuse it, you can really get into trouble. That's it. Wow. There's a lot happening in this interview, Amanda. Okay.
is.
So we'll go to your go to another part of the question is what holds us back?
Yes, please.
Okay, we have these things called beliefs. Beliefs can either empower us or disempower us. So if you've got a belief that you're a winner in life, you're going to head to that. If you believe that life's unfair, life sucks, that you're at a disadvantage and that sort of thing, that'll hold you back. Like this rubber band. So if we have beliefs over here that disempower us, that we're not good enough, we're too fat, too poor, too rich, too ugly, too beautiful, too smart, too dumb, whatever it is. And when we become aware, because awareness precedes a change in behavior, so we might become aware that we have these beliefs, but if we don't reprogram, if we don't readjust these beliefs, then we could be trying harder and harder and harder and harder and harder, and we try to get away, and then it just pulls us back. So what we have to do is we have to, I haven't got the scissors here, but we have to cut through that and create new beliefs, so that when we create new beliefs about empowerment, about how good we are, how deserving, how worthy we really are, and have this new belief, then it doesn't matter how far back we go, this belief will keep bringing us back to the empowerment. And that's a difference it makes in life. A lot of people use the analogy of a thermostat. So if you've got this thermostat set at certain level of income, success in relationship, certain belief about your health, and it's here, then any time your results drop down, you'll pull yourself back up. Or if your results exceed your thermostat, and people experience this in something called self-sabotage, it'll bring them back, and you're stuck here. And the only way, I think it was Maxwell Maltz said, it is impossible. He wrote Psycho-Cybernetics, great book. It is impossible for anyone to outperform their belief about themselves. So how do we raise our results in life? Well, the key is to change the beliefs about ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So your self-image will remain your self-image until you replace it with a new self-image.
Yes. And I remember that's what we spent the day at your workshop doing that. And I could not understand, with all my knowledge, my drive, my skills, why I could not get to the next level. And so really being there with you really did help instill some confidence and belief in myself. And Wayne, I'm not sure if I told you this story, but when I attended your workshop, I had had a part-time job for 6 years, and I was ready to really just spread my wings and go out and fly in my own business full time. But that belief kept holding me back.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, but I've always been such a loyal person. And so that employer, I worked for her for 6 years. We went through a lot, divorces, family deaths, you know, all the really hard stuff. And she was there for me a lot. And so I had this loyalty to her that I also didn't want to let her down. That was a belief I had if I was to resign from my job. And so the day after the workshop, she had just flown in from an overseas trip, and she called me to touch base to see where things were, what I was working on, what we were doing, anything she needed to handle urgently. And before we could get into any of that conversation, I told her how grateful I am for the opportunity she gave me, but I need to officially, formally put in my resignation. And I resigned the day after.
Wow. What a shift. So
I gave her massively. I gave her a three months notice, is that what they call it?
Mm.
So 3 months, because I love her business and I wanted to make sure she had the right people in play to take over from my position. And so, and that also gave me time to really set myself up in my own business. And so that was a really good transition period. She was in shock because I don't think she ever thought I would leave her.
Yeah.
I didn't think I ever thought I would have the courage to leave her. And so it's amazing what happens when you can get that new level of belief and confidence in you and yourself and how much you can really start to spread your wings and fly.
And what a difference it's made. Look at you now. Like, you just grown, as I said before we started, you've grown and blossomed so much, and it's just so beautiful to see the growth in you.
Okay, you're still making me want to cry.
Oh.
The other thing I wanted to share with you, what happened from that workshop I attended with you, was I also ordered myself a physical calendar year planner, and I had, you know, everything was just lining up for me. My lease was ending in my apartment a couple of months later. So I thought, you know, I really want to travel. I'm going to be doing my own business. I can work remotely. I can travel. I can do that whole, you know, travel work thing. And so I grabbed a calendar and I grabbed some sticky notes and I just randomly placed them on the calendar of wanting to travel.
Wow.
And so I'm like, I'm going to go to Bali. I'm going to go back to Japan. I love Japan. I'm going to go to the United States. And then my husband, and so for the listeners who don't know, I actually met my husband in high school, and then he's Canadian born. A few months after we met, he moved back to Canada. And then 18 years later, so a month after your workshop, Wayne, I was like done with relationships, right? At this point, you know, people are talking about using NLP to get their person to fall in love with them. Like, I was working on myself. I had invested a lot in myself. And so I was like good to be alone and really just make my business flourish. 18 years, he messages me. He's like, I'm coming to visit for the first time. And do you want to catch up? And so we caught up for breakfast and that led into, you know, dating. And then all those travel things I had put on the calendar prior to him contacting me, well, it turned out I ended up taking 9 international flights the following year.
Oh, wow.
And so not that I didn't get to go to all these other countries that I was hoping to. It was back and forth between Australia and United States, but I had always thought about wanting to move to the United States. So it just happened to be that, and Wayne, I still can't even explain it, but all these things started happening after I took your workshop.
Wow. That's beautiful to hear. And I've seen some of the journey because I keep track of you on social media and see you come up. And wow, that's just so, so powerful. And as I was saying before, that once everything changes inside us, everything outside us changes. So there's a saying that the life we have is a 3D reflection of what we have inside us. So
Yeah. You
changed what was inside and life changed. That's so powerful. And I do hear that. So I have all these, if you like, flowers blossoming all over the place. That's my reward. When I see the change, I know that I've been doing some good work when I see the change reflected in my client's life or my friend's life.
Wayne, we're starting to come to a close now. What's the best thing you could tell somebody to do? If they are at a point where they are struggling, they tried to do their affirmations, or they don't even know where to start. My thing would be like, just go see Wayne. I would just tell you to do.
Well, I'd say that too. So what I do with people who are thinking, well, yeah, I want to make some change, but I want to find out what it's about and what is the power that's inside me and how can I go forward. So I would usually spend 30 minutes just in a Zoom meeting. Or if people live nearby me in Caloundra in Queensland, they'd come and see me. But most of my work's online now. And we have a sit down and we find out, well, what is it you really want? Which is a tough question for a lot of people. So then we look at what you don't want. We look at how much you don't want it. And I'll actually, if it seems like there's some potential, you know, I'll get them to do an exercise about reverse engineering their life to really hone in on what they want, both symbolically and practically. The reason why I say symbolically is because if we want to communicate with the unconscious mind, it's got to be symbolic. Images and symbols are how the message gets in. And then we might, if they do decide to do that, then we reconvene, have another complimentary session so we can say, right, is this something we can work together on? If it's for, that's if we're looking at potentially coaching. If we're looking at a therapeutic type change, maybe it's overcoming a fear or a phobia, getting off smokes, losing weight, which is not about losing weight, it's about unresolved trauma and getting back in love with yourself. Or it could be any one of a number of things. Like there's a number of things that I've dealt with. I help business owners have a better business by having a better belief system, better head. I help people get off alcohol, drugs, smokes, food, all those sort of things.
Oh, yeah, food's a big one.
Yeah, yeah. Unresolved trauma. So it appears, it's a generalization. So bear with me because it's not every case. When people come to me with weight loss, there's some sort of unresolved trauma. Unfortunately, child sexual abuse rears its head a lot of times, not always. So hear my qualification on that statement. So it'll be some sort of unresolved trauma. So there's things lurking there in our background. We just have to change the meaning that we give it so that we can be free from that, learn to love ourselves more powerfully. So that's some of what I do. Like I've got a couple of text messages and Facebook messages even this morning. One is from a person who wants to get off ice and GHB. Another one was from a person who said, look, they're despairing, they don't feel like they've got any purpose, they feel like they're stuck, they're not motivated. Wow, that's not a good place to be. And the great thing is you can choose to make a change. And the first part is having a chat to tap into, because I always like to give people a convincer that they know this is going to work for them. And so I'll take them through an exercise, maybe 2 or 3 minutes max, where they get in touch with the power that's inside their unconscious mind. Very, very powerful. And then we can move forward.
I know I had that doubt, Wayne, that I was like, is this going to work for me? And I think you did something similar and I really want to encourage the audience today that this does work for, can I say anyone and everyone? Can I say that, Wayne?
You can say it because everyone is hypnotizable, right? Look at what the effect of TV is, societal conditioning. So there's hypnosis, everything is hypnosis. Everything, there are things going on all around us. I mean, in politics, it's all about hypnosis because they want to stay in power and they've got to get your vote. Education is conditioning you to have certain beliefs. In my early education, story time would have been a lot different to some of the things going on today. All right?
Yes.
So you know what I'm saying. So politics, education, religion. Religion wants you to follow a certain path or a certain faith or a certain division of the faith. I mean, how many versions of Christianity do we have? And then other religions around the world. Entertainment. Wow, entertainment's a powerful one because the melody will get you into a trance state and the lyrics are dropping words in. So if you keep listening to certain lyrics when you're in a hypnotic state, what do you think is going to happen to your belief system, your awareness, your perceptions, and you're going down the path of whatever that, whatever those lyrics are taking you down.
And Wayne, I've always been such a music person. And so when I got into this realm and learning that words cast spells, I really had to take a look, a listen to the music I was listening to. And not that I'm really into pop music, but just to give a really good example for our listeners today is the song If I Was a Rich Girl by Gwen Stefani. Because it's such a catchy song. Like, if I was, I'm not going to sing, but I think everyone knows the song. If, you know, they're repeating the line, if I was a rich girl. And so when I would hear the song, if it came on the radio, I'd be like, I am a rich girl. And it doesn't have to be in money if people are like repelled against, you know, their stories about money, just for the sake of getting people to be open to our conversation today. But you could be rich in relationships, you're rich in your career, but just, and you're, and the song is probably more referring to money, but instead of saying, if I was, you can say, no, I am. Like, and so now when I hear songs, I change the words in my head.
Because it can get emotional. Like, look at movies, and what is the message underlying the movie? In a movie or in a book, where we will be identifying with someone in the movie, leading man, leading lady, whatever, and what happens to them. And that can have some real negative connotations because you're sort of taking on that identity. And it is a hypnotic thing. It's very, if we got into something called future pacing to help you get in touch with your ideal self, we want you to create the ideal identity and become the ideal identity. As famous actor said many years ago, I acted like Cary Grant for so long, I became Cary Grant, and Cary Grant became me. And this, so if we identify with someone in a movie or on stage or a singer, and we repeat these things over and over again with emotion, because affirmations without emotion don't work. So if we're using emotion with the repetition of a song, then that could be very detrimental. So we want to listen and watch things that are empowering and inspirational. Very, very important. Or create our own.
I love this.
And that's what I do. Yes. In a session, I'll record the session on video, Zoom, so that it can be played back. And I also record the therapeutic parts where we're using hypnosis or NLP to create the change. I record them as MP3s so that you can keep listening over and over and over again as you go to sleep or wake up, to help create the ideal you who's free from the change.
I listened at your workshop. You gave us permission to record the sessions and the hypnosis, and I did listen to them for a really long time. Actually, I've changed phones now, and you've just reminded me today if I can get those recordings from my old phone, because it would be powerful for me to listen to them again, and go to my next level again.
Well, we probably need a new set of recordings, because another thing that happens is if you're, for want of, say the thermostat's here and we do some work, and you come up here to where the new level is, you don't want to listen to those recordings. We need to do new recordings to get you up here. So we,
yeah, you're right. We do need a new session. Absolutely.
Yeah.
If this is intriguing you, this conversation that Wayne and I are having today, and you feel inclined and this resonates with you, definitely take Wayne up on his offer for a free consultation. And even just having a conversation with Wayne will change your life. And then, Wayne, you also have programs as well that you offer people for people who just know in on a soul level that they have to work with you.
Yeah, thanks, Amanda. Yes, I have a 12-week program It's a mindset breakthrough program. So we're going to travel across this 6 inches, and we work on not just creating the goals, the goal achievement plans, we're creating and getting you to identify as the man or woman that has created the success or achieving the goals that you desire. The person you are now is not the person who creates that success. It's a journey you go on, and the person who's created it is the person you've become. So we go out to the future, get you attached to that into a different level of identity, thinking, belief, and we bring that back to the present, and then we go forward and continue to grow on that journey. And then we remove, as we're going through this, we're removing unresolved traumas, removing negative belief, all that old unconscious talk about the rubbish that's not really true. And we're rearranging your mind and reinforcing the new identity that is creating the life that you're going to love.
I love that. Maybe I might do that 12-week program.
Ah.
I love plugging into everything you offer, Wayne. Every time I do, I know I grow. I get so much value from it. And I wish people could see where I was, you know, 12 years ago and then 6 years ago when I met you, and how much you really do help people propel in their life. Now, I really want to end by... Did you have something, a downloadable, something that people could take away today?
Yeah, there's a number of things, but let's keep it simple. There's an ebook, 13 Steps to Overcoming Stress, Anxiety and Depression. Might give you a bit of a flavor about what I do. And I've shared with Amanda a number of links, depending on which platform you like using, whether you like to email or get onto Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, Instagram, the list goes on. But I've given a number of those there. And then if you'd like to connect, I'd love to just share with you, just to help you on your journey, whether we do anything or not. It's a matter of connecting, helping you to open your mind to the possibilities that are out there for you.
I love that, Wayne. Thank you so much for coming on the show today. It's been an absolute pleasure. Like I've mentioned many times throughout this show, you have been such an inspiration and a game changer in my life, and from where I was to where I am now, and looking forward to the next level. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me, Amanda. It was a real pleasure.
Thank you. And to our listeners, definitely go check out Wayne. I will pop all of his links in the description. And until next time, stay well.